We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to Inside Mizzou Athletics, presented by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Kelly.
I'm Mike Kelly, the voice of the Missouri Tigers. Welcome to this week's edition of the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast, brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Coming up on this week's show, you will hear my weekly conversation with Tigers football coach Barry Odom on the heels of his team's 38-0 dominating win over Arkansas in the Battle Line Rivalry Series. We'll also hear from Mizzou beat writer Dave Matter, who covers the Tigers for the Post-Dispatch. We'll talk football and basketball with him. First, though, this from Shelter Insurance.
Does this sound like you?
Or is this more like it?
Or maybe your inner biker sounds like...
No matter what motorcycle motor is music to your ears, Shelter Insurance has a policy that's music to your wallet.
Shelter insures your fun stuff. Motorcycles to riding mowers. ATVs to RVs. Bikes to bass boats. If it rides, rolls, or floats, we can cover it. Shelter Insurance. We're your shield. We're your shelter.
Missouri's football team closed the regular season on Friday with a dominating win in the Battle Line Rivalry Series, beating Arkansas 38-0 on a chilly, cold day at Faurot Field in Columbia. Cold and wet was the theme of the day. Dominance on the field, though, for Barry Odom's Tigers as the Mizzou head coach joins us. Good morning. How are you? Good
morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on again this week and doing well. Proud of the way that our football team finished the season and played, really, in most phases of the game is fairly dominating, and I was happy for them to send our seniors out the right way on the last game at Faurot.
So many things that we want to get to this morning. I want to talk, obviously, about the game on Friday. Talk a little bit about the schedule now, because a week from today, you'll find out where your team will head for a bowl game. And then also, there's a lot of things in between, getting ready for the bowl, recruiting, and things like that. But let's stick with the game, because in basically three facets of the game, you did dominate the Razorbacks. But you are quick to point out that in your mind, you still haven't played your best football of the season, have you, despite winning your last four games?
Yeah, you look at, you know, some of the things we left on the field, specifically in the first half offensively. We've left some plays out there on not finishing drives. And then defensively, played about as complete game as we have. I don't think we were very good. As clean as we needed to in some of the areas of special teams. So until you hit really every area that you say, yeah, that was our A game, then there's more out there. And, the challenge will be to get as many practices as we can, but also stay fresh, stay healthy, and stay in tune with capturing the moment that we have right now on playing really well. And I'm proud of the progress this group has made, because from game one until today, we've we've grown up a lot. We're a lot a much, much better football team than we were early in the year, and that has shown in the way we've executed. But there's still more. We can be a better team.
I've got some thoughts, but I'm curious from your perspective. A position group on the defensive side that's shown the most growth since the start of the season. In your opinion, what position group would that be?
Well, I would say in the back end, secondary wise.
Yeah.
You know, really with our corners, and only because I thought we had a pretty good opportunity to be solid up front. This the things that I'd seen. You know, we've got some really athletic guys in the back end, but not game experience that you feel really solid about it. But over the course of the year, through some growing pains, that group got better than probably anybody on our team.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the other thing that we've seen development is certainly guys coming off the edge, the defensive end guys, but also the depth that you've developed in the defensive line as the season progresses. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we've been able to roll a lot of guys in, especially interior wise. I mean, we've played, you know, 7 defensive tackles here the last couple of weeks, and that's, you know, that's a benefit. As long as those guys are playing at a level that help you win and play winning football, and their assignment sound, you know, and they've all got the ability to go do it. And Brick's done a nice job on rotating the guys in there. And it helps as you get later in the game and really later in the season when, you know, that's a tough position to play. And, you know, so the more bodies that we've got that can do that, that's helped us out.
When you took over this program 3 years ago, and you took it over in difficult situations on the heels of what took place in 2015, but you knew in this league you had to build a big, physical, rugged group up front on both sides of the football. 3 seasons in, every season, Barry, with the performance of Larry Rountree III on Friday, 119 yards rushing, every year that you've been the head coach of Missouri, you've had a 1,000-yard rusher. What does that mean to this program?
Well, we've got to be able to run the ball in this league. I think anyone that's been in it for some time understands that. And, you know, it's built. You can have a great runner, and then that makes a world of difference. But most importantly, you better have up front, you better be built inside out or up front to back. And the continuing work to do that, it's, you know, it's easy to talk about it and say it and want to do it, but then to be able to go find the guys that can physically do it in this league, it's not, you know, it's not easy. So you've got to spend a lot of time on identifying, you know, what is available opportunity-wise, because it's physically, just from a physical makeup, Mike, the league is different, mm-hmm. and it's different just in those spots on the offensive, defensive line, just from a physical build standpoint. And then you take, you know, the ability to be able to move and the athletic types that it takes to do that. And then now the piece that we've got to continue to develop on the defensive side is we've got to continue to develop our edge rushers, because every elite defense, you know, they've solid, really solid inside, can two gap, can play with penetration, but also they've got one or two guys that wherever they line up on third down, you know, all alert. They know that there's pressure coming from that guy, and he's going to win majority of the one-on-one battles. So, you know, there's things that still that you know, we're probably another recruiting class away mm-hmm. from getting the depth that we need to at some of those spots, but also, you know, pretty exciting about the future on what we have coming back in those spots because of the way that they've played.
Mizzou football coach Barry Odom is with us. His team finishes the regular season 8-4, 4-4 in the SEC. I was surprised when Rick Neuheisel came up to me before the game and asked me this question: will Drew Lock play in the bowl game? And I looked at him, I'm like, of course he will. I mean, there's no reason why he wouldn't. And I think if it ever came to the conversation, his father, Andy, would end it really, really quickly. Drew confirmed it afterwards. I was surprised by even the speculation of that thought.
Yeah, I think Drew was surprised by it, because someone asked him afterwards and he looked a little perplexed, and said, it's never even crossed my mind. And, you know, he cares so much about this team and about the guys that, you know, give him the opportunity to play the position of quarterback and the way he plays. You know, he's going to go play his best game wherever we end up. And so I'm glad he has that approach. I think the world of college football, that's the approach we need to all have. And if it's anything other than that, a unique situation that I hope we don't have to get into.
Yeah, we all know the bowls come down to the team that prepares the best and wants to actually be there. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I've got to stay with Drew because we've both been around this program for a long, long time. And we've seen guys like, you know, Brad Smith go to the next level and become a wide receiver. We've seen what Chase Daniel did. And, man, it was great to see him come in on and get the start Thursday for the Bears, lead them to a win. We've seen Blaine Gabbert's career unfold in front of us. As I look at Drew Locke, I think this guy has a chance to play the game at the next level at a position greater than any quarterback before him at Missouri. Am I wrong?
Well, he's got certainly the physical makeup. I think now more than anything, he has the mental structure to understand, you know, some of the things that's going to be required of him at the next level. I would probably be okay saying, I hate to compare, but I think Drew's got such an unbelievable skill set that he's going to play at the next level for a long, long time with great success.
Yeah, I think he'll be a starter in that league for a long time. Okay, so you'll find out a week from today. There's been speculation to the Music City. There's been speculation to the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. Do you care?
If we could predict the weather, then I would care, but we can't do that. So anyone, we're going to make it. You know, the things that I know I've talked about a number of times are the student athlete experiences, and, you know, a bowl game is a reward. And I don't ever want to minimize that. I want guys to be excited about it. I want them to understand that there is some work involved, but that's preparation. That's making us better for not only that game, but for a future. And our program needs that, in so many ways. And, but I also want them to have some fun. And, the bowls, you know, I've never heard anybody, there's some, you know, discussion nationally about, well, there's too many bowls. I probably, if you poll, you know, everyone that's ever taken part of a bowl, there's not one person say, yeah, that wasn't any fun. I don't want to do that ever again. So I think it provides opportunities for student athletes to have, memory making experiences. And I think that's one of the main reasons that we need to make sure that we stay in the realm of what college football is. So where will we end up? It's going to be a great bowl. We look forward to finding out on, you know, I wish we had a little more insight on where we're going to be right now so we can start getting prepared on it. But throughout this week, we'll do a couple of days of running and lifting. We'll have practices next weekend, and we won't know our opponent yet, but we'll go out and we'll practice just good on good, but also get our guys away a little bit. And where it's been a grind the last few weeks, and they need to take a breath also.
Finally, you and the staff hit the road recruiting right away, don't you?
Yeah, everybody's mostly on the road now. And so it's, you know, the change of the signing date now, the third Wednesday in December, that's changed everything. So as soon as our banquet was over yesterday, a lot of guys left town and got in position to get in the schools and to attend some games and then start with the home visits. And, you know, the bottom line in recruiting, it's, you know, mainly developing relationships, showing and telling them the vision on how they're going to be successful at Mizzou, and then getting them on campus. And once we do that, we've got a great opportunity for them to want to be a Tiger.
Buddy, proud of you. Congratulations on the way your team closed the season. Enjoy what's coming up ahead. Thank you so much for your time.
Have a good one, Mike.
Coming up next, you'll hear from Dave Matter after this from Shelter Insurance.
That's the secret phone.
The what?
Remember, I told you my dad's a shelter agent. When that phone rings, he rushes out to save the day. Whether someone's home or car gets damaged, my dad is always there to help. He has the coolest job ever.
Well, my dad's an astronaut.
That's cool too, I guess.
Find your insurance superhero at shelterinsurance.com.
Dave Matter is a St. Louis native and a Mizzou graduate, who's been on the beat for the Tigers for quite a while, first with the Columbia Daily Tribune and now with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Let's start with football. Winning an eighth game, closing with four consecutive wins in the impressive fashion that Missouri dominated Arkansas on Friday. What does that mean as Barry Odom continues to build this program?
Well, I think it's further progress, and that's what everybody talked about going into the season, that you wanted to see from this program this year. Another sort of shaky start for this team. Not the same as last year. This was more of a mid-season shaky, you know, stretch they went through. But again, when they're kind of backed into a corner, Barry seems to get the most out of this team. And I thought the difference between this year and last year was the schedule. It was the same teams for the most part, but tougher competition, I thought. You had new coaches at Florida and Tennessee, and Missouri just dominated those games on the road. New coach at Arkansas absolutely dominated every facet of that game Friday. And you can make a really strong case that Missouri is playing as well as anybody in the SEC outside of those top teams of Alabama and Georgia. And you want to see them now carry that momentum into a bowl game, whoever it's going to be, and finish strong.
Drew Lock finishes the regular season with two rushing touchdowns. He tosses two touchdown passes as well. John Elway, the general manager of the Denver Broncos, Gary Kubiak from the Broncos in the house watching the game. As you've watched Locke's body of work unfold this year, he doesn't have the productivity in terms of the number of touchdown passes from the record-setting 44 of a year ago, but in what areas do you think he's become a better quarterback?
He just is a more complete quarterback for sure. He gets first downs when the passes aren't there necessarily, when the routes aren't there. He's more accurate on the shorter intermediate throws, the kind of throws we really didn't see him have to make last year or the year before. Just smarter with the ball. You know, what we don't see is all the decision-making that he has to do pre-snap, post-snap, because we don't necessarily see what the plays are. But they always seem to be in the right position. They run when they're supposed to run. They pass when they're supposed to pass. He just manages the game much better. And I know the main stats, yards and touchdowns, aren't there compared to last year, but when you watch him just with the naked eye, he's a better quarterback in so many different areas. And really that started, started at the beginning of the year, but then we really saw it pick up after that Kentucky game when he started kind of sacrificing his body a little bit more to get some yards on the ground. And when he does that, he's really, really good. So I think he has finished his career, his season, about as strong as he could.
I think the other thing, too, that stands out about what Missouri did from an offensive standpoint this year under Derek Dooley as the coordinator is that for the third consecutive season, they have a running back that's gone by the 1,000-yard plateau. Larry Rountree III with 119 yards rushing on Friday bypassed that plateau. So, you know, Ish Witter, Demaryius Crockett, and now Larry Rountree III over the last 3 years have all gone over that plateau.
Yeah, and they are, I don't know if they're a run-first team, but they will run the ball and they will run it at will if that's what you give them. And I think that's been a real positive development under Derek Dooley, just that mentality that offensive line has taken and the pressure that they have, the burden they've kind of put on those backs to really carry the ball and get a lot of carries. I mean, you don't see many running backs in today's game get 25-plus carries, and we've seen that out of Rountree the last 2 weeks. Against Tennessee and then against Arkansas on Friday. So they are a very physical team up front, and that's what I think people always wondered if Missouri could compete on the line of scrimmage in the SEC. Well, they don't have a problem with that. They do that really well.
What do you think the possible locations are? I mean, do you think it's down to two, Music City or the Tax Slayer in Jacksonville?
I would think so. You know, I think that the question now is, does LSU fall out of the New Year's Six bowls? They're still 9-3. At 10-2, they were in for sure. There would have been four SEC bowl teams in those bowls. If they slip down, that just adds another SEC team to that pool of six. And technically, there'd be seven teams out of six. Missouri's squarely in there at 8-4. But I, the Outback seems a little unrealistic at this point. I think the Music City is sort of the safety net. They won't go back to Houston. I don't see them going all the way out to Charlotte. There's other teams that make more sense geographically. So, yeah, I would think the Tax Slayer in Jacksonville or the Music City in Nashville, both of those make a lot of sense, and I don't think you can go wrong with either one.
Dave, after 25 years and 307 consecutive games of doing Missouri football play-by-play, here's what I've learned about the Mizzou fan base, and particularly over the last several years with Missouri transitioning to the Southeastern Conference. When you look at the fan bases in this conference, Missouri's fan base is clearly one of the smallest, if not the smallest, I'm talking about core fans, in this conference. It is certainly the least passionate fan base in this conference. The fans have got to step up their game too, don't they?
I do think they do. And I was impressed by when the peak crowd was there on Friday in the rain, bad weather, Thanksgiving weekend against a bad opponent. There were more people there than I thought would be there, but that they have to get that place more full for conference games. There's no doubt about that. We've heard all the reasons why, you know, games are on TV. There's other, you know, competing interests around the state for people's wallets and for people's time. But if you want to compete in this league, you've got to drive up that ticket revenue. There's just no other way to put it, or you're always going to be the lowest spending team in this conference. And that will come back to bite you when you've got to hire coaches and you've got to build facilities and all of those things. So as Gary Pinkel said, you don't join this league unless you invest all the time. And they're doing that with the South End Zone complex. The fans got to do more about showing up too, about spending their money so that Missouri can have money to spend too. And you know, that there's going to be a reflection of that too in the bowl game, wherever they end up and how many tickets they sell. That's going to be a reflection of Missouri. And you have a chance to make a statement if you're going to follow the team to wherever it is, Nashville, you know, Tampa, Jacksonville, wherever they end up.
Before I ask you about basketball, one final thought about football, just a couple of off-season topics, if you will, that you're going to keep an eye on as we move, you know, not only into the bowl, but also then beyond the bowl.
Well, the quarterback situation is front and center. What happens after Drew Locke is done throwing footballs at Missouri? We all know about Kelly Bryant, the grad transfer from Clemson. He is set to make his decision on December 4th, which would be next week. Not this coming week, but the following. Missouri is in the mix. We know that. Auburn's in the mix. Arkansas's in the mix. I think he's a starter day one at Missouri as soon as he shows up, and then they can kind of bridge the gap with the younger guy for the following year. If it's not him, do they find another grad transfer? That the market right now is quiet. You don't know who that's going to be.
Right.
Or do you go with one of the current backups? You know, that's a dicey situation. You know, Taylor Powell's played a little bit, not necessarily meaningful snaps. But I think whoever that quarterback is going to be surrounded by some real talent. I think Missouri can continue to improve on their record a year from now if they've got the right guy there at quarterback. So that's a big story. I think staff turnover is always a story. You never know who's going to move on, who might get another offer. And I think Barry's contract situation is a storyline too. We know he's the lowest paid coach in this league. Does Missouri buck up a little bit just to make a little bit more of a statement that, hey, we think this guy is the future. He shouldn't be making $2.3 million when that's kind of standard in some of the group of five conferences, not the SEC.
We'll both get a chance to see Konzo Martin's basketball team twice over the course of the next 7 days. They play Temple at home coming up at 8 o'clock on Tuesday evening. Just a thought on the expectations without Jontay Porter for this basketball team.
Well, you know, it's been a struggle to score points for this team. It was down in the Virgin Islands. I was impressed with what they did against Oregon State. That's a quality Pac-12 opponent. They controlled that game throughout. And their offense essentially was Jordan guys getting the ball, creating something, or trying to get to the free throw line. I don't know if that's sustainable over the course of a season in the SEC, but he showed you something, I thought, in that tournament. They need to get more out of Jeremiah Tillman, there's no doubt. There's one game, I think the Oregon State game, Kevin Purrier scored 17 points. He's going to have to be a guy that scores in double figures every night, and they've got to get one of these freshmen going too. The K-State final was not surprising at all. That's a veteran team that's going to be expected to do good big things in the Big 12, and they looked like a veteran team against a less experienced Missouri team in the second half of that game. But they've got a chance to, you know, get some wins here at home against some, you know, not great opponents, but quality opponents. UCF coming up, and then Temple on Tuesday. And they need to play some home games. They've been away from home for most of the season so far.
Hey, Dave, thank you for your time and continue the great work.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
I'm Mike Kelly. Thanks again for listening to this week's Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast, brought to you by Shelter Insurance.
This has been Inside Mizzou Athletics with Mike Kelly, brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.